Groups B and C come to a close today at Euro 2020, with places in the last 16 still up for grabs. I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is Football Only Better. Resident tipster extraordinaire Mark O'Hare has been regularly ignoring his fiancée for days on end just so he can bring you all of the best bets. Mark, I actually want to start with Group C because the market's made what seems to be a really clear decision about the game between Austria and Ukraine, because the draws plunged to around about 11 to 10 or 2.1. A point is enough for both teams to go through. I'd love to believe there won't be a carve-up. My instinct is always to think that it's too simplistic, but how do you see this?
Yeah, I can see what you're saying, but at the same point, it's hard to sort of disagree with what the market is saying, because the group dynamics suggest so. You know, it's sometimes we talk about unknowns in betting, and sometimes we talk about having to speculate a bit and having to read between the lines, and that just isn't the case in this game. We know everything comes down to this, and you know, a draw suits both. That's the harsh reality of it, and that's why the draw's been plunged. You know, there's, in some groups, a group runner-up gets an easier way into the knockout stage as well, but that's not the case in Group C either. So if you finish second or third, you're likely to qualify with 4 points, but you're going to still play a group winner in the knockout stage as well, which I think looks to be something like Spain or France for both teams. So, yeah, I mean, I haven't got a huge view on this game for obvious reasons, but it's hard not to believe that the two teams will happily accept something that's mutually acceptable for them. So, yeah, I've barely done any notes on this, because it's surely going to be a draw, isn't it?
Have you just written draw in massive letters on your paper? Is that what it is?
Pretty much. No one wants to back the draw at evens or anything above around that mark either, do they? So the way to boost it is just to add in under 2.5 goals, because the total goal line took a huge plunge as well. You're looking around a sort of 1.75 goal line, a flat two. So, you know, the market's not expecting goals. The market's not expecting too much action. We've had a few instances in the past where this has been the case, and it's rang true. So I'm happy to buy into it, to be honest. It's 2-1 for a draw and under 2.5 goals. So you're basically back in the 0-0 and 1-1. If both teams know that a draw suits them, they're not going to play out a 2-2 or a 3-3, are they? So if it's going to be a draw, you just get a bit more for your price than the even money on the stalemate. But yeah, to be honest, this is a game for small stakes and just a little giggle at the end if they do play out the draw.
Maybe I'm too romantic for all of these things. Now, you think of data, and maybe you think the people who work in it would be nerds or dweebs, but the dashing young Jake Osgathorpe from InfoGoal is here to challenge convention. Jake, delighted to have you back with us once again. What do you make of Ukraine-Austria? Are you going for the romantic angle where you think, no, these teams will go for it and one of them might win, or Mark's cynical feeling that it's all going to end square?
I'm very much in the same boat as Mark. I think that, you know, there's been so much money come for that draw. If you see the line on the Betfair Exchange market, it is just a steep decline from the draw price, which I think started around 3 into just about 2.1 it is at the moment. I think that these two are just going to shake hands before the game and call it a draw. And if that is the case, I mean, the 0-0s at 11-4 on the sports book.
God, it's an outrage. It's an outrage.
You can just see it happening, though. I mean, both teams would have been happy to get out of that group anyway, given the Netherlands are in there and they were fancied to win the group quite strongly. But yeah, like I said, the 0-0s at 11-4, no goal scorers at 9-2. Both of those do kind of appeal. But under 0.5 first half goals, 6-5. That is that caught my eye as a potential angle. And if you think it's going to be, as we've said, cagey with both teams happy to play out for the draw, then, you know, 0-0 at half time really is not out of the question. So the odds against price about that is definitely something that I'll be looking at.
Just Kev, I just interested in your opinion if you do want to buy into sort of the romanticism of the match, because what's the incentive here? Ukraine can't win the group, so the best they can hope for is second place. So a draw suits them down to the ground.
Yeah.
Austria, no point.
I think you're right. I,
I think it's just interesting because I think if you look at, say, Ukraine, I mean, they could be sent out with the instructions, look, we absolutely can't afford to lose this. Don't take any risks. But Shevchenko doesn't strike me as that type of coach. And they're not really built like that in the sense that they're not really a defensive team. And also, I think Austria are rubbish. So I think that Ukraine might think they were so bad against the Dutch, we can have these. So I wonder if you go for it in the first 20 or 30 minutes. You see if you can get that advantage. You see if you can rock them back on their heels early on. And then if you do go 1-0 up or something like that, then you maybe put the handbrake on and think, okay, we'll stick as we are. But I look at that Austrian performance against the Dutch and how appalling it was. And how bad the coaching was from Franco Foda. And I just think there's maybe something there for Ukraine, but I shall have to have a think and see if the cynicism wins me over by then. I'll be writing the preview for that one, by the way, on betting.betfair.com. Articles from all three of us on that throughout the tournament. So worth bearing in mind as well, Mark mentioned a bet builder there, the draw and under 2.5 goals, I think it was. So our fantastic multiples offer will be running every day throughout the Euros. Bet £20 on multiples or bet builders and receive a £5 free bet to use on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. Well, now we know that the Dutch have already won Group C by virtue of having beaten Austria and Ukraine. They face a North Macedonia side that's had some bright moments but has ultimately fallen short. The Dutch are the home team in Amsterdam, 1.37 favourites, with North Macedonia 11-1 or 12 on the exchange. Jake, you would imagine that Frank de Boer will shuffle his pack here and rest a few.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it'll change the outcome. I think what we've seen is that North Macedonia aren't at this level, aren't at the level required to compete at this level. We saw that in qualifying. I mean, I know they progressed and managed to get here, but they were fortunate to do so. I think they finished fourth or fifth in the qualifying group based on expected goals. And I know they've had a couple of eye-catching results recently, notably beating Germany, but in this competition, they've been found out. I mean, Ukraine should have won that game much more comfortably than they did. They should have had it wrapped up at half, really. I know North Macedonia did come on strong in the second half, and that is something that we have got to praise them for. I mean, they've not turned up to this competition and sat back and tried to defend and keep nil-nils and win 1-0. Like, you know, for example, a Finland, what they've tried to do, they've actually opened up and had a go. And, you know, they've scored in both the matches, which is credit to them, but defensively, they've looked very vulnerable. I mean, conceded over six expected goals across two matches, and now they're coming up against a Netherlands team that have been really, really impressive. You know, I think both me and Mark were quite sceptical of them coming into this tournament about how far they could progress. And you, make it hat-trick.
I think a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't know whether it is the weakness, the group itself that they're in is actually quite a weak group overall with Ukraine and Austria, but they've really impressed in the games that they've played. I mean, I know that Ukraine gave them a bit of a scare, but based on expected goals, they won that one really handily. I think it was over two expected goals to just 0.7 for Ukraine. It was the same again against Austria, where they racked up over three expected goals and allowed just 0.7. So these are almost not, I won't go far as to say perfect performances, but they're not far away. If they replicated this over a long period of time, we would be talking about them being tournament favourites. But as I said, the questions are around whether the teams that they've played are actually any good. What we do know heading into this game, though, is that even if they do make changes, they're playing against a team that aren't as good as Ukraine or Austria, a team that are much more defensively vulnerable. So I'm looking at trying to get goals on side in this one. I think the overs line is quite short. So I was looking at a slightly different angle, which we've not seen a lot of in this tournament so far, but that's over 1.5 first half goals, which is at 7-5. We did see it in North Macedonia's opener against Austria. I think it was 1-1 at half time. And given what we've seen from the Netherlands in terms of their gung-ho approach, the way in which they're attacking with the, you know, just all-out attack effectively. The wing-backs are getting in really good scoring positions. We saw Denzel Dumfries score his second, getting into really advanced areas. If that continues, no matter whether they play in the same 11 or switch it up, I do think that they'll have some joy and score plenty of goals. So that would be my angle in this one.
That's an interesting one. Mark, how do you see it? Do you think we'll have goals in this one?
Yeah. Very similar views to Jake, so I'm not going to sort of labour the point and go over old ground. Been very impressed with Macedonia's attitude to the competition. We know that their strengths are going forward rather than defensively, not just in terms of individual personnel, but in terms of shape. And they've got so much craft and technicians in forward areas that they should be capable of hurting a few teams when they get the opportunity. And I think they will get the opportunity against the Dutch team who will rotate. I'm still very sceptical of the Netherlands as well. And I think if they do ring the changes, rest players and start focusing on the knockout stages, because they've won the group, which they will do, I think that back line is certainly quite concerning. So I do think there's something still in this for Macedonia, North Macedonia. You know, this is a historic moment for them. This is a huge occasion. They're still highly motivated to put on a show. So I'm not seeing them sort of go home with a whimper after two games. They'll be well up for this game, because who knows when the next time they'll be on the European stage. So Holland obviously playing in Amsterdam, won't want to lose at home either. So yeah, I'm expecting quite a good game. We know the third round of group games tend to see the most goals per game, and that tends to be down to desperation and jeopardy, but also occasions like this when you've got a team with little to play for and a team with you know, can play with a handbrake off, really. So obviously it's just pride at stake here, but I think that's quite significant from a North Macedonia perspective. So Holland have scored at least twice, I think, in the last eight games now. We'd expect them to do something similar here, but certainly wouldn't mind North Macedonia getting on the score sheet either. So just because it's the last group game, I like to play a few bigger prices, and Netherlands to win and both teams to score was 15-8 on the sports book. That's 2.88 in decimals, which that appeals to me.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet as well. Now, we know how frustrating it is when you get frozen out of a bet. So for the Euros, Betfair is offering no cash-out suspensions on match odds markets on the sportsbook, even during VAR reviews or when there's a penalty. On to Group B then, and Belgium already through after their comeback win against Denmark. They were ever so good in the second half. The Danes could still qualify if they beat Russia and the Finns lose. It could all get very complicated. We'll start with Denmark's game against Russia in Copenhagen. Denmark 7-10 to take the win, Russia 5.2. Mark, I thought the Danes were outstanding in that first half against Belgium for so many reasons. Kasper Hjulmand, the coach, went for something totally different, a kind of 3-4-3, seemed to really work. The crowd really responded. I thought the players, given what they've been through with Christian Eriksen's problems, I thought they did themselves a huge amount of credit, but they were simply blown away by Kevin De Bruyne and Romelu Lukaku after the break.
Yeah, it's difficult when you're able to bring on that quality off the bench. It's just game changers. Kevin De Bruyne, absolutely exceptional. But I'm so pumped for this game. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I know I've got a lot of pre-tournament positions on Denmark, so there's a lot riding on this. But I still believe in them. I still really believe in them. And that game, we talked about it before. Would the Eriksen issue inspire them, or would it put them back into their shells? And they absolutely were inspired. I thought they were exceptional. And they now know that a win here and Finland losing against Belgium puts them in a fantastic position to get second spot in this group. I know there's loads of permutations, but Denmark will be the favourites to get that. And they have been the most unlucky team in the Euros so far. And like, just take the Eriksen incident out of the situation, because clearly that was catastrophic to what happened in their first game. But talking in purely football terms, they've had 43 shots, 29 shots in the box. They've hit the woodwork, missed a penalty, generated over 4 expected goals and scored just once. Whereas defensively, they've faced just 7 shots, 4 inside the box, and they've conceded 3 goals and they've got 0 points. And that's the unfortunate element of tournament football, really. You've got small samples, high variance and little time to sort of turn those unfortunate elements around. But I think, you know, the fact they're playing Russia is going to give them huge confidence in Copenhagen with what looked like a capacity crowd against the Belgians. I'm not sure that was supposed to be the case, but, you know, they played with such energy, such confidence.
Yeah, I was surprised about that. I was really surprised. I was like, how big's that crowd?
I didn't see the official attendance, but I'm pretty sure it was more than 50%. But it's Russia, isn't it? You know, they were pretty dour against Finland. They only just won the shot count, generated fewer than 1 expected goal. I know they kind of went back to their normal formation and system. Nice to see Maranchuk making a difference, but you look at what they can offer in this game. I think Højbjerg and Delaney will be absolutely all over Golovin and Maranchuk. I think Simon Kjær will absolutely love the physical battle with Juba. I just think if the Danes play to the same tempo as they did against Belgium in that first half and can sustain it for just an hour, that's all they need, really. If they raise the tempo, I don't think Russia can live with them. And the only issue that you have with the Denmark is is the final third ability to convert and create, because other than that, I think they're well set up to get a result here. So Denmark to win and under 3.5 goals would have been my play here. 13-10 on the sportsbook. That's 2.3.
I like the idea that in the ticket queue for that game for Denmark, you might have had, you know, that old cartoon staple where you have three kids on top of each other just in one massive coat in disguise so they can all sneak in. I suspect there may have been a bit of that. Jake, Russia haven't been very good. I didn't think they were great against Finland. Alexei Miranchuk scored a brilliant goal, but apart from that, they weren't great. They were really poor in the opening game against Belgium. So I agree with everything Mark said. I think Denmark are the better team and they've got home support.
Yeah, I think it's a full house. I really do. I think saying Russia haven't been very good is a bit of an understatement. They've been really, really poor. So say they've had home advantage as well, or perceived home advantage in St. Petersburg with limited capacity crowd. Yeah, they've been really underwhelming. The performance against Belgium was laughable, really. They failed to lay a glove on them, and Denmark showed everyone in that second game that Belgium are quite vulnerable defensively if you press them quite high up the pitch, force them into turnovers. But Russia didn't do that. They played with no urgency whatsoever, and it was the same against Finland in what was probably the game of the lowest quality that we've seen so far. It looked like Sunday League stuff at times, really. You see Russia breaking with a 3-on-2 and you're thinking, well, here we go, this is game over. But no one could find a pass to anyone on the right team, which kind of sums up Russia's Euros so far. I think barring that that wonderful solo goal or with a bit of link-up from Juba, it really has been a poor tournament. And yeah, if they carry on playing that same manner, it's really hard to envisage them sort of making any mark on this Denmark team, because I think Denmark are a level above this Russia side. The way in which they played, as we've said, against Belgium was really, really promising. And even in the opener against Finland, after what happened, after the game was recommenced, Denmark were really, really good. They just couldn't find the goal. Obviously, the penalty miss could end up proving costly. But as Mark said, with all the permutations, a win here pretty much guarantees them passage. That is if Finland don't cause a massive upset against Belgium. So, yeah, I can't see anything other than a Denmark win, really. I think they've got enough in the final third to be able to break down Russia. I think that Russia will struggle to do the same. So I like Mark's angle. Denmark to win under 3.5. I think that's a really, really good podcast staple play. But I would just be happy to take Denmark to win on the exchange at 1.75. I think that's plenty big enough, especially when you factor in the max capacity crowd in Copenhagen.
Now, in the other game that Jake's mentioned, Finland faced Belgium in St. Petersburg. Belgium, the 1.34 favourites. The Finns, a massive 12-1 to pick up the win in this one. Mark, we think about rotation when we know teams are already through. But this is a bit weird for Belgium because Axel Witsel hasn't played much. Eden Hazard hasn't played much. Kevin De Bruyne hasn't played much. So there's an argument to say you actually start all of those guys to play them into form ahead of the knockouts.
Yeah, I agree. I would be surprised if those three don't play 45 minutes to an hour in this match, just to get some game time in their legs. And look, this match still means something to Belgium too. They haven't sewn up top spot from what I can gather. If Finland do beat them, you know, there's an opportunity there for them to finish second in the group. So there's still something for them to play. There's still incentive there. But yeah, I'm expecting the three big guns to play and play from the start as well. And that's why Belgium, obviously the market has to assume that Belgium play their best team, and we won't know that until the teams are released, really. But I'm working on the assumption that they do play, and when those three players are in the team, they're a much better team for it too. So this is a difficult one because Finland clearly know that a point will do, and I think we all can expect Finland to batten down the hatches because that's what they've done in the first two games. So why are they going to do anything different?
Yeah.
They are supremely organised. They are very defensive, but it works for them. They're difficult to break down. They're difficult to play against. They are a threat from set pieces, not just with the balls into the box, but the long throw from O'Shaughnessy and the counter-attack too. And Pukki, who hasn't looked fully fit, should probably be better for having a bit of a run around in two games as well. So he might be a bit sharper. And there's an element there of, you know, you look at that Belgian defence and they still produce errors. They're still lacking pace as well. So this is, you know, it's not an easy game for Belgium by any stretch of the imagination, but they should be winning this match. And I'm going back to the podcast staple, really, which is Belgium to win in under 3.5 goals, because just in case Finland did get on the score sheet, you've basically got the four most likely correct scores here on your side. The only thing we're kind of missing off really is 4-0 or 3-1, which I know isn't entirely out of the equation, but I'm kind of happy to overlook here because Belgium had 66% of the ball against Russia. I'd expect something similar, if not a bit more, against Finland. And then naturally that will just allow Finland just ever so fewer opportunities to cause problems on the counter-attack in transition or set pieces too. But I'd like to see the team news first just to make sure those three players are playing, because they weren't that great in that first 45 minutes. And it was only really Kevin De Bruyne's magic and link-up play with Romelu Lukaku that turned the game in their favour. I think they only had four or five shots in the whole game. So, I'm still kind of concerned about their longer-term prospects, but they should be able to get the job done here.
Yeah, I think Lukaku's link-up play in the build-up to one of the goals specifically, absolutely brilliant. He's become such an incredible all-round player. Jake, just very quickly, your thoughts on this one. I imagine you're of a similar feeling to Mark.
Yeah, very similar in the sense that I'm quite expecting Belgium to win. But I did look at the prices available on the goals line and thought that the over 2.5 being the outsider was quite interesting, because As we've said, Finland, a draw suits them to the ground, really. But if Belgium do get an early goal, all of a sudden Finland are behind the eight ball and they're going to have to open up a little bit and try and get a goal, in which case Belgium could rack up a score. So I was happy to have a little play on over 2.5 goals at 1.98. Given what we've seen for Belgium, the clinical nature, I mean, you know, they've not been fantastic overall. Against Russia, they were very, very economical, I thought. They took the chances when they came up, and same against Denmark, really. They were outplayed for the majority of the game and took the chances. So I think with the level of quality that they've got in the squad, they don't need to create as many good chances because they are so clinical. And I said I fully expect De Bruyne and Hazard to play from the start. Just purely what you said there, Kev, they need match time. They need to get game fit. They've been introduced in dribs and drabs over the first couple of games. They could do with some more minutes under the belts, and this is a perfect opportunity against a team that will be camped inside their own half, probably inside their own penalty box, after what we saw from Finland against Denmark, in which they only had one shot and managed to score. I expect it to be very similar to that. I think it'll be one-way traffic, attack v defence. We could end up seeing Belgium have a 75-80% possession of the football, and it just be complete one-way traffic with very comfortable win. So, yeah, I like Mark's Belgium and under 3.5. I think that's got a really good chance. But I just thought the goal line was a little bit too high, over 2.5. I think at 1.98, I'd probably have a small wager on that, because there's every chance Belgium cover that line by themselves as they did against Russia.
Well, now it's time for our podcast treble. We each pick a selection and our traders wrap it up and put a bow on it in a boosted treble. We've got four games to pick from this time. I'm going to do my Mystic Meg and I'm going to give Mark the first choice. And I feel like he should go for the Denmark win because there's already so much pressure on him for Denmark to win that game. So, Mark, I'll give you a free choice. It's up to you.
No, it's fine. I've got Denmark. I'm about to go and get my red and white face paint. I'm all ready to go. I'm all in on Denmark. If they don't win, see you next year, because I'll be in mourning for a long time.
You might as well join the crowd, Mark. You might as well head to Copenhagen now. You'll probably get in.
I'm sure the gate will be open anyway.
Yeah. I'm going to go for Belgium to win for all the reasons that we've discussed. So, Jake, you have a choice from one of the other two games.
Yes. Do I go for the Netherlands win at a short price, or do I take the draw in the Ukraine-Austria game that we all...
What's the cynic in you saying,
the cynic,
Jake?
In me is telling me that the draw in Ukraine-Austria. But yeah, given that we've got a decent price already in Denmark, around 3-4, 7-10, I'll throw the Netherlands in there as a shorty and go for a podcast treble win as opposed to a bigger price, if you like.
Super. Well, don't forget to check out the Daily Boosted Treble on the Sportsbook, where you can boost the odds even further with your odds boost token. T's and C's apply. That's all we have time for on Football Only Better. Please do remember to gamble responsibly. If you enjoyed the show, and of course you did, leave us a nice review with your usual podcast provider. From Mark, from Jake, and from me, it's goodbye for now.